Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come to you this morning and ask that you would use me to share your word, that it be rightly divided, and that it would be used to edify and to encourage and to uplift. Be with those that are not here this morning. Just ask that you would bless their time. Be with them and speak to them as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a person who decided to make some choices in their life, and his dad died in the World Trade Center attack, 9/11. And this young man decided to, the best he could, avenge his father's death. And so he decided to become a U.S. Navy SEAL. So he entered SEAL training at 18 years old, and he went through BUDS and all the training. He reached the end and went to the physical tests. A week from graduation, a doctor told him he did not qualify to be a U.S. Navy SEAL. He was devastated, and he asked, "Why don't I qualify? I've passed all the physical tests, all the written tests, and all the training." The doctor said, "You have a tumor on the side of your heart, and in combat, you will have your heart will fail you, and you will die due to the additional stress." He was sent home. He had a choice to make to either overcome that obstacle or to redirect his life. Within a week of getting home, he underwent open-heart surgery, and within a few months, he re-enlisted in the U.S. Navy SEALs. He was the first person ever known to complete SEAL training twice in under 3 years. When he walked into the doctor's office again a week from graduation, the doctor told him that he couldn't pass and he wouldn't be there. The man said, "I passed because I have a new heart." This morning, the only way we're going to pass life's test, and life is a test, it's a test we can't cheat on, and that is if we have a new heart. Turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. That's going to be my text this morning. To recap, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream in chapter 2, and he had Daniel interpret it. And the interpretation was of this monumental idol that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed, and it was made of gold and clay and iron. Nebuchadnezzar decided to make an image, and we're going to pick up the story in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. And Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dara in the province of Babylon. The first thing I notice here is that the king did not follow his dream. He made the entire image or statue out of gold. I find that interesting. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make a name for himself. He wanted to live forever, and he wanted to be a king and run Babylon, and not for a short time like he had it in his dream. This statue was approximately 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and at least it was coated with gold, if not made of solid gold. This morning, in the world, a lot of people want to make a name for themselves, and they turn to what the rulers of the province to come to the declaration of the image which the king had set up. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province glimmering in the sun, The music was playing, the media was there, the law enforcement was there, the leaders and everything was there. And if we were to worship and to make a name for myself is not the same that will attract someone else. But we have to realize that the devil has engineered an image specific for me and specific for you, and he wants us to bow down to that. And we have to make a choice to either resist that or to conform to it. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "Be not conformed, but be transformed." The word conformed there literally means be squeezed, constricted. So we have to consider that. We have to make the decision on what we're going to do. We see in verse 4, "Then a herald cried aloud, 'To you it is a command, O people, nations and languages.'" There's no one excluded. "That at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, pastry, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, pastry, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and languages peer pressure was as real as it could get. They fell down. It doesn't say they went slowly. It makes the impression that they went fast. We see there's a price to pay if we don't worship the image that's been set up in our life. We have to make that choice if we're going to stand apart or if we're going to fall down and worship it. We could fill the whiteboard with things that could be worshipped, but it really boils down to two things. You either worship yourself or you worship God. I also see it interesting that the country in which they dwelt got involved in religion. And I think it's very careful that Christians hold a politics in a different regard as to what God has. And the reason is because if politicians can use their religion and their agendas to gain power, and if our goal is to worship God, we know that His rule and His kingdom is more important than following man's. And we have to separate from the culture and follow God instead of following whatever the current country deems is appropriate and okay. They don't judge us in the end. In verse 8, it says, "Therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man, when shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, pastry, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth up, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace.'" We see that there are going to be people who, when you make a stand, are not going to appreciate it. They're going to be resistant that you want to be different. And these are probably people that at one point in time had been higher up in the ranks than Daniel, his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they probably had some hard feelings. They were probably wanted to drag them down. And we'll see how that works. We have to trust God and not to try and run our own ranks on our own. verse 12, they make their accusation or say who it was. It says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They have not served thy gods, nor worshipped the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they brought these men before the king, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye hear the sound, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the hoop, flart, harp, sackbut, pastry, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? The king was a wise leader, and he was willing to give Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a second chance. He was willing to ask them directly of the accusation that he had been told. He didn't just take the people's words for it, but he went straight to the source and he asked them if it was true. And he left them with a challenging question. It says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He didn't name any gods of the kingdom of Babylon. He asked, who is it? He didn't have any answers. He felt like there was a hopeless cause if they were to not worship his image. I think it's harder to make a stand than it is to tell someone to their face or to resist something individually. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a chance there to easily bend and go and worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were very resolved. They had their foundation set. They didn't make that decision then to make a stand for what they knew was right. They had chosen the little things, and those little choices they had made had led them up to a spot where they could tell a king in the face of death that they were going to serve the one and true God. We also get faced with questions, little things and big things in life. And we have to also make the choice if we're going to stand for the one true God or succumb to peer pressure and what everybody else in the world around us is doing. We have to trust God without knowing the end outcome because we know he holds our destiny. And if God had chosen that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were to die then, they were ready to go. They would rather that they would die than to be worshiping an image that was wrong. A lot of modern Christians are like the people who believe that God is love and they serve God and they honor God, but they expect something back from God. They'll tell God, I'll do this if you do that. It's interesting when people get diagnosed with cancer to see how many people who don't even believe in God cry out to God and say they'll believe in him and they'll live for him if he'll heal them. I think it's important that we live a unconditional life, that whatever God's outcome is for our life, that we still serve him. Verse 19 and 20 says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wrought to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fiery furnace. When we make a stand against wrong, we should expect opposition. If we stand for what's right in a world that's going wrong, and we don't offend or don't get any opposition, it's time to consider what we're standing for. Because we should make stands that people outside the church don't agree on. And we have to expect that, and we have to be ready for that. That's where the making small choices lead up to being firm enough to stand for what we believe is right, even when we face persecution for that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego chose not to bow down, and they chose not to bend when the king gave them a second chance. Verse 23 says, "These men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king." I like the Septuagint for the Old Testament. I know we have been asked to use the King James for preaching. I'm going to read a couple verses here in the Septuagint, which is the original Greek translation, that shows a little bit of a different perspective as to what was going on in the fiery furnace. It says in verse 22, "Forasmuch as the king's word prevailed, and the furnace was made exceedingly hot, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and walked in the midst of the flames, singing praises to God and blessing his name. And Nebuchadnezzar the king heard them singing and praises, and he wondered, and rose up in haste, and said unto his nobles, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they said unto the king, Yes, O king." They weren't only loosed, but they are praising God in the midst of a fiery trial. I find that perspective very interesting. I can imagine the king feeling like he had done just punishment, throwing them in the fiery furnace, and his anger was probably starting to cool down, only to hear singing, and it says that he was astonished. Jesus was with them in the worst of their experiences, in the fire, and he'll also be with us if we have a trust in him and make a stand for what's right. He'll give us the strength to endure the trials or to deliver us from the trial. Those are the options that I see. Also, I found it interesting as I looked into this that Jesus is comfortable in a furnace. Jesus is familiar with trials. He knows it well. He's no stranger to the trials of temptation or pressure. We look through the New Testament, and Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. So when we're tempted or in a trial, we know that Jesus has been through it and that he can be there to help us through. We just have to trust in him and look around and find him. I think that's important when we find something that's challenging in our life to face, is to realize that Jesus has gone there before us and he's there to help us through. We'll never be tempted with something above what we're able. So we know that if we're in a temptation or we're in a trial, to succumb to whatever is being bombarded in our life, that we're able to pass that. In verse 26, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire." The king changed his tune as to what God could save them. In verse 15, he left them with a challenge and said, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" It sounds as if Nebuchadnezzar didn't know a God that could do that. And now he recognizes that the Most High God is able. A king that was full of himself and had built an statue of gold to worship himself realized that he was no longer the top of the totem pole. He did not claim that God was his God. He said the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the servants of the Most High God. We can know a lot about God, but if we don't know him personally, he still isn't the ruler of our life. We see that the king noticed a lot of things about this God. He gave him glory and recognition that came immediately when he saw that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was more powerful than Nebuchadnezzar and his fiery furnace. A few things that I found in this was that God, who is God? We see here that God is a God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see that he's a God who sends help. We see that he is a God who delivers his servants with great power. The king knew that God was worthy of being trusted and receiving honor. God changed the king's words. We see that in a few verses. And we see also that he knew that God deserved exclusive allegiance. When you encounter a God on that magnitude, it's going to have to change your life. I heard a story one time where a preacher said that he walked up to the totem pole and he said, "I'm late this morning, you have to excuse me. I was changing my tire on the interstate, the lug nut came off, and I went out to get a lug nut that I had dropped, and I was hit by a log truck, and that's why I'm late." There's only two logical answers that you would be late if you had encountered something as big as a log truck and say you're late. Either you're a madman or you're a liar. You cannot encounter something as big and as powerful as a log truck and it not change your life, change your appearance, and change your perspective. The question is, which is bigger, God or a log truck? If we say we've had an encounter with God and that he's our king and we owe our allegiance to him, there has to be change and fruit to prove that. You can learn a lot about God at church, reading the Bible, going to seminars and praying. But you can't know him for yourself until you take the step and accept his sacrifice for your sins. Knowing God isn't enough. And King Nebuchadnezzar knew God, but he didn't know him personally. He had seen what he could do, but he hadn't experienced a change himself. Verse 27 says, "And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own." God has called us to be a living sacrifice. And the king realized that these men had yielded their bodies and were willing to sacrifice them for their God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were steadfast to go the whole way with God, and it changed the king's word. Sometimes we look at a trial we go into in life and we're confused as to why we're in it. We're in the heat and we're not sure what the purpose is. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fire or the trial bound. They came back loosed. Sometimes God puts us through a fiery trial to let us be free, to burn what's binding us, to burn that image that we've been worshiping, and to set us free that we can be a sacrifice and wholly live for Him, present our bodies a living sacrifice. The king went on and says, "Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." The king had a change of his heart. By appearances here, he at least made a different law. A few hours earlier, he had made the law that he would kill anyone that didn't worship him, and now he says he'll kill anyone that doesn't worship the next highest power that he knew of. It's important that we stay true to what we believe and don't bend around to what peer pressure and the government says is allowed or acceptable, because they're unstable and they change. But God doesn't change, and His Word doesn't change, and what's right and what's wrong doesn't change. And it's important that we don't conform to this world to avoid trials, because God is there to deliver us in the trials when we stand for what's right. And I find it interesting that earlier these people had accused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and had hoped to take the position. But the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And that was just a good reminder to me that in life there can be times where it may seem like we can cut a corner. Maybe it's with our taxes or whatever that we get challenged or tempted to do to promote or further advance ourselves. But if we stand for what's right and do what God has for our lives, then we can trust Him to promote us. And we see that God used a king to bring Himself honor and glory and to promote Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And later in Nebuchadnezzar's life, Nebuchadnezzar calls the Lord his God when he is driven from the palace. And it's important that sometimes we may not see the fruit of standing for what's right. We might even take some heat or lose friends. I'm sure Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego heard about this later in life from other people who were also their peers or in the political world that they were in. But it's important that we stay true and don't worry about the things of that nature, and just to trust God and stand for what's right. I found this chapter an encouragement to me and challenging, that when I face challenges in life and idols and the desire to be somebody, the desire to promote myself or to bend where I know something is wrong because of peer pressure or because of acceptance, that by standing true, God wants to bless our lives. So let's stay true and fight the good fight. God bless.